In about a month, we'll learn the winner of the third annual Tiny Desk Contest, the songwriting and performance contest from the creators of NPR's Tiny Desk Concerts. Last year, the six judges received over 6,000 entries, listening for what host Bob Boyland identified as something singular, a song and sound that felt original and a performance that felt inspired. In the end, the judges' decisions were unanimous. A fiddler from Duluth, Minnesota, Galen Lee.
Our rope's a complex vintage wine, all rotted leaves and lemon rind. I spit you out, but now you're mine. We bit the fruit.
Galen Lee is a classically trained violinist whose music, Bob Boylan wrote, is steeped in Celtic tradition and American fiddle tunes. Her fiddle style is shaped by those musical traditions, but also the challenges she has, playing an instrument that is almost as large as she is. Galen was born with brittle bone disease, so she's quite small. She estimates about 68 pounds, and she plays her fiddle upright, like a cellist. Winning last year's Tiny Desk Contest launched Galen Lee into the national spotlight, and she's taken advantage of the attention by embarking on a month-long tour where she can also shine her own light on issues of accessibility for performers. I spoke with Gayla via phone ahead of her concert tonight at the Red Clay Music Foundry in Duluth, Georgia. It's really a pleasure to talk with Galen Lee, and belated congratulations on winning NPR's 2016 Tiny Desk Contest.
Thank you so much. It was a big surprise. A lot of people entered, so I never thought I would win, of course, and it's been a really great year since then.
And that year has you traveling throughout the country and performing. You'll be in the Atlanta area. Galen, you've said that for you, music is a medium to bring up a bigger topic, and your bigger topic is accessibility, not only for the audience, but for performers. What would it take to see venues and music festivals and arts organizations reaching out more to people with disabilities?
Well, I think what it would take would be just a commitment to diversify the arts that are out there, you know, that we're seeing being showcased. You know, I think back to some of the bigger venues and even the smaller ones that I've played at, and I just don't think that many people with disabilities are playing. You know, it starts, or at least getting opportunities to play bigger stages and stuff. I think it has to start small, though, in the way that, you know, I learned how to perform at an open mic in my hometown. But ironically, the open mic that I performed at was not wheelchair accessible. But I'm very small and people can carry me around. But if I wasn't small and portable, I don't know if I would have had an opportunity to get comfortable with performing at all, because I wouldn't have been able to get in, you know what I mean, to the venue. So part of it is all venues, you know, when they can prioritize making sure that they're a little bit more accessible, especially on like the stage and the bathroom and the doorways. Those are really big areas, you know. And then in terms of bigger venues where they're already accessible, just kind of thinking, well, what's missing from our calendar this year? You know, are there any artists with disabilities that we could be inviting and we just haven't thought about it as a priority? You know what I mean? So there's kind of two levels. It's physical accessibility and then programming diversity, I think.
It's been more than 35 years since Itzhak Perlman performed here in Atlanta and called attention to the fact that he had to use a freight elevator. And
oh, wow. Okay.
And struggle with some stairs even after that. And I don't think it was an intentional slight in any way, but the response was that, well, we never thought of that. But
yep.
By virtue of your addressing accessibility, you are creating wider awareness. And in this instance, because of the ADA, indeed, audiences have better access with ramps and special seating. But I think it's very impressive that you've called attention to what it takes for performers to have accessibility to stages.
Yeah, I mean, it's much harder to tour if you have a disability at this point in time. It's not impossible, but again, I'm very small and I have help from my husband. He goes with me. But yeah, I do think at this point in time, people aren't wrong in saying, you know, we never thought of it. But once you are told about it, you know, then you do have some responsibility, I think, to try to make it better. And the Americans with Disabilities Act is already over 25 years old. So I'm hoping that, you know, by talking about it, we can maybe speed up the speed with which we prioritize it. Because I think you're right, people with disability, for some reason, is still pretty invisible when we talk about minorities and, you know, different kinds of issues that we are worried about socially. A lot of times disability is left out, even among activists. And so I see that a lot right now with all the political things going on, that disability is very rarely mentioned. And so the more that I can talk about it, hopefully people can not only hear the message, but then do something to make it more accessible.
Well, with all of the touring you have done and are doing now across the United States, what have the venues been like in terms of accessibility?
Well, it really varies. Some people are amazing and they build or rent a ramp and they really make sure to really try their hardest. You know, if their green room's not accessible, they'll move it upstairs to a room that is. You know, there's different things that people have done. And then some venues, you know, just say, well, sorry, we're not accessible. And then that's kind of the end of the discussion. And then we just have to make do. Either we lift my chair up onto the stage, or once in a while, if the stage is just too tall, I'll play from the ground on the floor in front of the stage. It just depends. There's a really wide variety. I try my best to make sure that the venues know when they do get a ramp, how much it's appreciated and how I hope they keep it so that other people can use it. Because it's a really big deal, I think, when they take the initiative to do that.
You're going to be in the Atlanta area playing at the Red Clay Music Foundry and Eddie yeah. Owens Presents event. What can listeners expect to hear at Thursday evening's concert?
Well, I like to do a mix of traditional live looped fiddle tunes. So a looping pedal is something that I plug into my violin, and when I press down and record, it layers it again and again and again. And so by the end of every song, it usually sounds like some kind of like a symphony rather than just a solo violin. So I do a lot of live looped fiddle tunes, and then I interchange them with my original songs and some traditional songs. So it's about half singing and half instrumental. It's a pretty relaxing kind of sound. But then the singing ones are fun to engage the audience. So it's a little bit unique, I guess. It's kind of different than what's out there now, but that's one of the things that makes it really fun.
And that makes your style extraordinary. Galen Lee, it's really been fun talking with you, and I wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you so much.
Galen Lee performs tonight at 7:30 at the Red Clay Music Foundry in Duluth, Georgia. We'll have more details at wabe.org/citylife.